they will know you by your love, what we've been studying. We've talked about how the different types of love mentioned in Scripture. We've talked about how to show love to one another. But to show God's love, you have to first strive to be aware and make contact with that yourself. And for me personally, one of the biggest ways that I encounter that is via song. And I'm sure that surprises absolutely none of you. And so in Scripture, we have an entire book that was songs. The book of Psalms were songs. And there's all types of different ones in there, and some of them pertain about God's love. And so that, reading the book of Psalms and going through our own modern hymnals is how I rejuvenate my contact, so to speak, with God's love, in addition to other studying of Scripture, but that those in particular are the ones that hit strongest to me. And so I want to go through a few of the Psalms that speak to me on this. So starting in Psalms 136, if you would please turn. And I'll pull a page out of Mason's handbook. And if you would, I don't know if your version has it, but there is the italicized, "His love endures forever," refrain that keeps word is not there, so it keeps coming in as we go through the Scripture. And so if you would, I'll read the primary part of the verse, and then all of us together will read, "His love endures forever." So, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the desert, his love endures forever. Who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their lands as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever, and freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever, and who gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. So in this passage, we are shown that God created everything. We are shown that God cares for his people, and in their times of trouble, sent help. That he guided them and protected them through tribulations in the desert. That he crafted for them a place to make their own and took away those hindrances that prevented them. And that he still remembers us when we are in need. And he will still provide for us and all of his creation. That's a wondrous thing to think about. That when we're in a moment of great trial, as the Israelites were when they were in captivity, when we were in a moment of hardship, as they were when they were in the deserts, when we face great obstacles, as they did when they were in the process of taking the land of Canaan, God still loves us and provides for us, and that love is eternal and non-wavering. It's something that is easily said, but hard to actually grasp and come into full understanding of, because it is something that really breaks the human mind to think on such an enduring scale, and to think that something still occurs even when there's hardship. And yet that's something that we encounter every day. We encounter that with our own family and our own friends. And why would God be any less than we are in that regard? How could his love be less than what we naturally feel? And so, knowing that God's love is there for us, even when we can't or don't want to see it, it is still there, and it is still waiting and guiding for us. All we have to do is reach out for it. That's great encouragement to me. And so this is one of my favorite psalms to come to for that. Anytime I start doubting things. And other psalms that I'd go to, is another one is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. How many of our songs are either directly from that scripture or tied to it? How many of the things that we sing and praise are just us giving thanksgiving and adoring God for his contact and love to us? That is a major part of why we're told to gather together for worship. That it's the communal act of giving our love up, only for it to be multiplied and returned, that is so important to us, and why we are told not to forsake the assembly. It's not that God needs us here every day to go through a set ritual. It's that we need to go through the set ritual for our own well-being, for our own strengthening and structure. And so a lot of the songs that we sing, either directly or tangentially, speak of the love of God. And so one of the projects that I want for y'all to do this week, I don't know if you've done any of my other ones, but the project for this week is I want you to find a song that is speaking of God's love and listen to it, sing it yourself, incorporate that into your morning routine every day to kind of set your mind for the day. Because if you ground yourself to that portion with God, you then can show others that love. But you have to have the connection first in order to do that. You are a conduit, like electrical conduit or a pipe moving water or however you want to picture it. You are a conduit for God's love into the world, but you have to actively choose to connect to the spigot for that to happen. And we've talked of how prayer is one way to do that, and I've had you incorporate that as your projects. Song is another one. As I've said in previous lessons at other times, song was given to us by God to communicate emotion in a way that words alone cannot do. And so it is important to me to incorporate that into my daily life, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but to incorporate some element of that every day. Now, it may only be one song on the radio as you're going to work or going to the store or whatnot, and it may just be singing in your head as I do all the time when I'm at work. But song communicates deep meaning, much deeper than the words alone can give. And like in the passage that we read together, that repetitive insertion of his love endures forever, that everyone is participating in acknowledging and in stating and in sharing with one another, that is a vital part of that. That is how music shapes parts of our theology, because it sticks in our head. It is what our often first go-to for thoughts of things. Like when you think of heaven, do you think of the scriptures that tell us about heaven, or do you think of the songs that we sing about heaven first? For me, it's the songs. And then I can go to the scriptures that those songs are derived from, but that's academic. That's not the initial impulse. And so, like I said, this week I want you to focus on building connection and maintaining and improving connection with God's love so that you can show to others, but doing it with song. Now, it could be the really old songs like Psalms, just reading the Psalms, or it could be from our modern hymnal, or it could be from a Christian radio station, or you could just be making up songs on your own. But try to connect to that emotional component rather than just the purely academic thought of love. And so now is where I turn things over to seeing if anyone has statements of thoughts that have popped into their head. Yes, ma'am.
So growing up in the Catholic Church, we always had an organ or a piano, and then I'm learning that we're supposed to worship with our voices, not instruments. Is that correct?
We are commanded to sing and make melody in our hearts and to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
With our voices, right?
Yeah. That is the command in Scripture. There's not a direct prohibition on instrumentation. The Churches of Christ, we choose to do a cappella because we believe that that helps to incorporate the congregation together and helps to focus things together with less distraction than a full instrumentation would do. But if you want to listen to Christian music or even play Christian music with instrumentation, that's fine on your own time. We just don't do it here at services.
Charlie, it's interesting that the term acapella actually means as in the chapel.
Yeah.
It is a word from the first century.
And it was how they worshipped in services. They had other types at other times of the day and other times of the week and whatnot. They had other forms of music, much of which was praising God, but for the services itself, it was a cappella.
It was sung probably 800 years before instruments were introduced.
Yep, and when they were first introduced, they were very simplistic and in the background and didn't get elaborate until several centuries after introduction. Yeah, that's why we...
Why do you think every parent sings A, B, C, D, E, H, I, J, K, L, M?
Yeah, or...
And we all know it, and you can sing it in your sleep.
Yeah, or the little songs for doing chores and...
The New Testament.
Yep.
That's how we all learn the New
Right.
Testament.
Yeah. I still sing the song with him when I'm looking for a book.
Yep. Like the psalm as the deer.
As the deer, the steadfast love of the Lord. I mean, those are all direct scriptures and those are psalms. If Mason can find the Sermon on the Mount written to me.
Oh, yeah. And music has a unique power, and it's one of the reasons that God has commanded us to use it.
There's actually a song for this entire Psalm.
Yes.
The entire Psalm.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of those for all of the Psalms. And when I was in college, there was actually a project being worked on by the same people that do the paperless hymnal that we use up there. They were putting together a psalm book where every single psalm was being put to music for modern worship use. And so we already have, you know, probably a good quarter of them in the book as is, and but there are
certain songs affect certain people. You're saying, like, I'm saying, Holy Grail, to me, that is more emotional. Those are songs you're interested in. It just means you're saying that song. I can't help you to stand that song. You're saying, Holy Grail, you're not saying Holy Grail, you're saying, and you have to be like,
Yep. And so that the way that music can connect to the heart is why I want to use that as this final lesson on studying agape and God's love. It is, as I've said before earlier in this own statement, it carries meaning deeper into us and more long-lasting. It sticks with you longer when you incorporate it. And that's a linguistic difference, because that would have been originally in Hebrew, and so the exact phrasing in English can go about 13 gazillion different ways, but it all carries the same meaning. Steadfast, faithful, all of these things are extrapolations to show the endurance and the strength of God's love, is what that passage is telling us. And it keeps interjecting that after every point. That scripture says, this is an event where God showed love to us. We acknowledge that his love is strong and everlasting. This is another instance where God has shown love to us. We acknowledge that God's love is strong and everlasting. And it just keeps repeating.
Well, and it's also a statement of his character, because he is the only thing that we know that endures forever. In our lives or in this world or anywhere else, it's nothing lasts forever except
for God and his love. Very true. Yeah. Now the power of music to stick in your mind and to make you think of certain topics is extremely powerful. Yes, ma'am. So
I've got confidence that when she would, some struggling with something, that she would be singing that song in her head. And it was one that she learned in Bible class, in Bible hour as a child.
Yeah.
But knowing, because it says, I've got confidence, God is going to see me through. And that's powerful.
Very. And so that's why the project I want you to do is to find a song that connects to God's love and listen to it or sing it every morning for this next week. And let that be a starting point for your day to ground you. So I hope that my lessons on Agape have at least been understandable, if not beneficial for this month. Are there any other final comments before we wrap up for the day? Oh yeah, and that there's a reason that we're told to do these practices, and as I said earlier, none of the reason is because God has to have it. The reason is all because we need to have it. Be it prayer, be it study of Scripture, be it singing, be it acts of self-control like fasting, be it whatever ritualistic act we are going through in the worship of God, it is not because God needs it. It's because it does something that helps us. It does something that strengthens or edifies or corrects us. And participation in that, willing participation in it, active participation in choosing to do it daily, weekly, monthly, whatever the temporal oscillation of the practice is, it is important for us to engage. And hopefully this is allowing you to do so.
We're bombarded and molded and influenced and triggered all day, every day, by things that are not good for us necessarily. And this is a tool or an antidote for some of that, I think. It makes me think that, you know, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
So the opposite is also true.
Very much so. And if you fill your cup up with God's love, there's not going to be space for the other stuff. Yes, ma'am. So, any other final statements or thoughts? Well, thank you. Well, that's the goal, was to look at the common things but try to go at it from a slightly different angle so that it might bring a deeper understanding for people. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer today asking that you be with us, that you fill us with your love and encourage us and help us to show that love to others. Not just those close to us, but the whole world, even those that antagonize us. We pray, dear Lord, that we can be a beacon of your light to the world so that they may come to you. Please guide, guard, and direct us and protect us as we go through our days. In Jesus Christ's name.